Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm feeling awesome.
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 It's nice and warm outside. I'm home.
Yeah, it's too damn warm.
I've got a short box full of comic books. Life's good.
Life's good. And I there's some reasons why we haven't recorded.
There are.
Well, one of them.
True. It did take me a little while and a few therapists to get over my bitterness about not being at FallCon.
That's true. I was going to say there was one weekend I was at FallCon, and then the next week you
SpringCon. Sorry.
SpringCon.
We're already looking ahead to FallCon, yeah.
The next week you were impossible to find. You vanished off the face of the earth.
Got that straight, Skippy.
And then the next week, I don't know. I don't even know what happened the next week. Well, but here we are, almost a month later, back. Which is better than Russell Crap Radio, which is recording its final episode July 4th weekend, the week of July 4th. And they haven't recorded anything since April. So we got them beat.
Cool.
Believe it or not, people, this here show has a sponsor. And if you would like to sponsor this little endeavor, you can email me at corey.strode@gmail.com. This is more than just a podcast. It's a lifestyle. And you can be involved in the lifestyle that is Crazy Comics and Stories. Just send us an ad. Subject advertising. We're going to be having a new sponsor here in a few weeks, Joe.
Ooh.
Ooh. And I got a story about that, but we have a sponsor right now, and that's DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best darn web host in the entire known universe, and probably the unknown universe as well. They're that good.
Yep. Better than they will throughout the multiverse, and of course DC's little tiny 52-verse.
Which already has multiple Earths.
It's rare that you're able to have multiple Earths. There are only skilled writers can accomplish that.
That's true. I don't know. Does Image have multiple Earths?
I don't know. Did they ever finish Image United?
Did they ever put out the Image 20th anniversary book?
Yeah. There's just some questions we're not going to ponder.
I know the 10th anniversary book came out during their 14th year.
I actually have one of those.
Kind of fitting. But DreamHost.com is the best darn web host in the whole known universe. They are wonderful. You have unlimited options. Unlimited. Let's say you're starting up a webcomic strip. You can go there. You can buy a hosting package. You can set up WordPress. You can do all of it. And if you get confused, they have an FAQ, which is a frequently asked questions list that will help you with just about anything. And if you use the code KRAYZ, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. A bargain at half the price. That's DreamHost.com.
Neat.
So while I was at SpringCon not feeling well.
Well, let's start with that. Give us a SpringCon wrap-up.
The SpringCon wrap-up, I don't have a whole lot I can say because I kind of got corralled into doing an overnight on Friday. So I came in kind of half dazed. I'd done the overnight and then I did the overnight Thursday night. Normally my last overnight is Wednesday. So I did an overnight Thursday night. I got to sleep Friday night. But then when I woke up Saturday for the con, I had everything in the car. I had the roommate with me. There's some pictures on Facebook. I was the best dressed man in comics once again. And when I got there, Dana had set up the charity table beautifully. It looked wonderful. There were Disney collector's plates and Star Trek collector's plates and DVD sets and statues and not a whole lot of actual comic books, although we had a couple of listeners donate a bunch of comic books to us that sold pretty fast.
Cool.
There were, I didn't see any socks this time, but I saw gloves and vacuum bags and all sorts of fun stuff. Some trade paperbacks, some hardcovers. We sold most of the wrestling figures. And I saw something that's been there since you started the table, Joe. The Bart Simpson sponge. I have no idea where this sponge is from or what it's supposed to be, but it's kind of a square sponge that has a Bart Simpson in the middle of it that you can pull out. That's also a sponge. And that's been there since you started the table. It sold. I was shocked. It finally sold.
Do you remember for what?
I wasn't there that day.
Not that it matters because it all went to charity anyways.
That's right. So Saturday I got there and it was hot. Damn hot. Sticky hot. The Amazon hot. Africa hot. It was nasty hot. It was, with the number of people in that building, it was 190 degrees. You could have fried an egg on my forehead.
Ooh, that would have been fun.
And, you know, you could have had something decent to eat because you would have had a fried egg.
True.
So I pretty much ran the table by 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I was exhausted from lack of sleep. My stomach was giving me all kinds of trouble. So I didn't even get to make a loop of the convention. Now, my roommate was running all over, meeting people, having fun. We had a lot of people come by the table early on. The place was packed, scary packed. The back row, you know, where they have a bunch of the dealer's tables and everything. I went back there, and one of the problems at the Thunderbird was that the aisles were only like 3 people wide. So if you had more than 3 people looking at a table, you couldn't get past. The aisles at SpringCon are huge. They've got to be at least 15 feet wide. They were packed. There were places you could not move. It was that busy. And just a lot of people having fun. I had some listeners come up and say hello. There were a lot of people who came up and asked where Joe was.
People aren't listening to the podcast.
I showed them the picture of you sad in your room.
I was sad in my room. Actually, that wasn't true, but we'll get to it.
And I didn't go to the after party because I wasn't feeling real well. And then Sunday I woke up at 2 in the morning and the stomach trouble I had about a year or so ago was starting to poke its way through. And I know how to handle it now. And one of the ways to handle it is not to go places where you've got to deal with public restrooms.
Yeah. And of course, the worst part about it is that the where our table is right in the middle of the grandstand. So you're like, even if you were to want to attempt it, you would still be like running around and through and over and under. And next year, we'll just have to locate it right next to the can.
Or, you know, next year I just won't be sick.
Well, yeah, but you know, I'm trying to go with credibility here, you know.
But, everybody I talked to said it was a blast. There was a lot of artists I talked to who said they were having great, you know, a lot of great interactions with fans, sold a lot of art, sold a lot of stuff. So maybe Dana can give an update on it next time.
Well, it's an interesting story about Dana.
Uh-oh.
You know, the thing is I don't know if she's going to be around much other than the college thing, but She does have a steady right now.
Ooh.
He's in the comics.
Ooh.
And one of the things the weekend.
I didn't see him at the convention.
He was there, but I don't think she wants people to know. She's worried about us embarrassing him. But.
Oh, so we're going to announce it on the podcast.
Well, I will say that I did have to sit down and have a talk with her because, as you said, the weekend after the con, you couldn't find me and. You know, as I utterly bitched about in the last podcast, you know, I not only missed the con, but I missed my wedding anniversary. So that particular weekend, I was a wee bit busy, if you want to put whatever innuendo in there you want. But there were a number of times when I took my beloved wife out, and I, you know, I had to have that talk with Dana because she'd be home with him unsupervised. And I just sat her down and I said, you know, Dana, I know you're at that part of life. I've been through it. You're going to be alone.
Where you're drinking heavily.
No, no, she's not into that, believe it or not. But she's...
Then why the hell is she going to college?
She's, you know, going to be home. She's going to be alone. She's going to be unsupervised. She's going to have her boyfriend over. They're good. There's certain temptations, certain feelings they're going to have. And I know that they, no matter what happens, you know, I went through it. It's natural. And I just had one bit of advice for her. No matter what she does, no matter what he tries to talk her into doing, there's just one thing she's got to do. Don't touch my comic books. And I.
Wow, the crickets are happy with you.
Yeah, they can be happy all they want. My comics are fine. Because he comes in and he's. Dana says he just goes gaga because he sees. I mean, I just got comics piled all over the place. Literally, since I've been on the road, I haven't done anything with the comics except, you know, trying to get the Ultraverse together and picking up new stuff and things like that. But, and that was fun too when I got back. Because I got to pick up all my comic books all at once.
All of them?
Yeah, yeah. I had about 3 months worth.
Okay, so I got to ask. I ask every time, what did you read first?
Well, I had been reading Avengers X-Men, so that doesn't count. Because I just picked those up, and I didn't put down for the crossovers. But I got my box here. And let's see, I think that's kind of in order. Let's see what I got here. Let's see. I read Earth 1, Earth 2, and World's Finest.
Earth 1, Earth 2, Earth 3, Earth 7.
I read Knights of the Dinner Table, which I love. Action. Avengers Assembled. Scarlet Spider. It was fun because... What I find is when I'm away from comics for a while, I get the urge just not to buy. Because I know they're going to be available in graphic novel. I know they're going to be just not. Yeah, you kind of lose interest. If you don't get the habit, I think that's the number one thing about comics is there's a soap opera mentality to it. And if you don't come back every week, get into that habit, that's one of the reasons why comics and soap operas, for that matter, are kind of dying out because there aren't people willing to commit that type of time to it. There's people that enjoy them. I mean, look at how many graphic novels Watchmen have sold in the last few years. Look at the numbers the Avengers movie's taking. It's just to go in, to drop $3 to $5 on a comic book month after month, week after week, it just doesn't work. I noticed that when we did had the Death of Superman, you know, when I opened up Hot Comics. And we had a lot of people in, and they came in, they bought the death issues. A few of them hung around afterwards. A few hung in for the six-part lead-in. Most of them, though, by the time they got to the point where they stopped publishing Superman comics for that three-month stunt, they were starting to get out of it. You know, they just kind of, well, let it go, let it drop. And, you know, even at the end of it, I think that April when the Supes came back, I had to call people and just say, do you want to continue or do you just want to let it rest? And, you know, we had at one time about 200 people just in for the Death of Superman. And I think only about 100 of them hung on for just that. And then numbers dwindled. I think by the time we got to that, the white bag issue, that was probably the part where everybody dropped. So that's probably the biggest problem with comics. That and they're just not there. They're just not done in one anymore, you know? But I'd actually, I visited.
There are some done in one, though.
Yeah. I was going to say, I actually visited a new comic book store when I got home.
A new one?
Yeah. I finally visited the new and expanded Source Comics and Games.
Ah.
And I got to tell you, impressive. Most impressive. But.
Visited Jedi yet?
But, no. I think they're on the right track. The problem is I got spoiled by going to these comic book stores in New York. Because Midtown Comics, I mean, they got three stores in New York and they're just huge. And they got the comics all lined up. They got every graphic novel ever. And they're actually probably in a smaller spot than the Source is. But when I went to the Source, the one thing I felt is that, and I think I felt this too when I moved my store from the 1,000-foot to 3,000-foot spot, is basically they took what they had and they just spread it out and it's displayed a lot nicer, but they haven't added anything. And I know it's going to take time. And, you know, with the rate they're selling graphic novels, they almost need a person to just come in and monitor the graphic novels and keep them going. But I think they're at the point now where now that they've made the move, they got everything out, now they can start adding some more fun things. And, you know, it might just be because I'm there every week, but, you know, they need that something that you walk in and you're only going to see it at the Source Comics and Games, you know, in New York and Midtown Comics, the big thing there is they always had their exclusives or they had books from their signing or they had whatever. Source needs to work on that. Or maybe not. I went in last Saturday and, you know, the back was full of gamers. So, you know, you get the best of both worlds. I think they're going good.
So maybe they don't need to listen to you.
Yeah, maybe. Then again, they got me as a customer anyways. What's the point?
Well, yeah, there is that.
So anyways, I did go in, like I said, I got back.
And you bought before Watchmen?
No, it wasn't out yet.
Oh.
And I did meet Anthony Amph Harry. He was there. They had a table right near the front, and he was just there kind of selling a sketchbook, letting people know about his art coming up, and I picked up a sketchbook and I had him draw the 70s Supergirl, you know, with the V-neck, the go-go pants and go-go boots, puffy sleeves. So I got another piece of artwork from somebody.
Another Supergirl.
Which makes up for the fact I didn't get any at the Comic-Con. So that was kind of cool. It was neat to run into him. I think that was a great idea that the Source did. I did actually visit another brand new comic store, but that was a couple days later. So like I said, I got in the 23rd and then the 27th, I went to do Uncle Sven's and I picked up all my comics and it was kind of fun. I know there were a lot of books. I think there was only one book I think I dropped. I think it was Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Just cause, you know, it's a good story. I just not that hip on the artwork. But as I was reading everything, I kind of get the, you know, DC 52 is facing an uphill battle because I think people are just getting bored with it. But as I read it, there's certain things that are kind of interesting. It'd be interesting to see how fast they pay it off. You know, like in Grifter, there are the Daemonites. He's fighting the Daemonites and the leader of the Daemonites, I think his name is Hellspont or whatever. He went over and fought Superman. And so you got the Daemonites floating around. Stormwatch is up against some shadowy figure coming on. Reading Earth 2 and World's Finest, they're kind of linking that, you know, Darkseid, he was the one, I don't know if you want to throw spoiler warnings, because I mean, Earth 2 is only on issue 2 right now.
Everyone,
but they you know, dark, it was something that Darkseid invaded that killed off on Earth 2 Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. And in World's Finest, you've got Power Girl and Huntress who are on, what the hell do we call it, Earth 1, Earth 52, I don't know, they're on the main DC Earth and they're talking about, you know, it's almost this, they're wondering if it's the same Darkseid that attacked the Justice League, and was repelled, is that the same one that attacked Earth 2? So then you start thinking, okay, so you just don't have Darkseid messing around on one Earth. Darkseid's out there messing in the entire multiverse. There's a couple other ones going on. I mean, there's the Green, the Red, the Rot, and Swamp Thing. It's in Justice League Dark. Green Lantern's revving up for another fallout. It's just everything kind of ties into it. It was actually kind of annoying because I was sitting down. So in some cases it was fun. It's like a Red Lantern ended up coming to Earth and went head-to-head with Stormwatch. And if you're reading Red Lantern or you're reading Stormwatch, you know, they give you a warning these crossovers are coming. I was reading Justice League Dark, and it went into iVampire. I don't read iVampire, so I had to go get the iVampire crossovers. I don't mind doing it. They're only $2.99, and it was kind of fun. It kind of reminds me of the old Marvel days when they used to have crossovers. And then, of course, I was reading Justice League International and went into Firestorm. It really didn't need to, but it did. It was and Marvel's doing that a little bit, too. I was reading Avenging Spider-Man. And it went into, or was it Spectacular?
It was Avenging.
Yeah, and it went into Daredevil, which I got, and Punisher, which I didn't. So I had to go find Punisher. So, you know, and once you read all three of them, it was actually kind of fun. So it's one of those times where, again, you know, I've been away from comics. I've been picking up the big stuff. Now I'm back and I'm reading them. And much as my great, you know, pronunciation, oh, I'm going to be cutting back. Well, other than, you know, Justice League International sounds like it's coming to an end. You know, some of these, it's actually fun, and it's kind of fun to read now a lot of the DC Universe. I get that same feeling when I first started picking up Marvel Universe. You know, there's things going on interconnected in the books. It's almost like the editors behind the scenes are manipulating the bad guys around, and we're only seeing the good guys as they react to it. And it's kind of a fun thing. I hope there's a payoff because I'm not willing to be jerked around too long. You know, I think of Wildstorm. They went how many years before they finally settled the Daemonite War? And by the time they did, nobody cared, you know? So
that is one thing I will say, that both Marvel and DC have learned you need to have payoffs much sooner than they did, say, in the 90s when nothing ever paid off, ever. I was actually discussing this with someone. We were talking about Bendis's run on Avengers. And he started with, what was it? It was Secret War and Avengers Disassembled. And then, you know, you had Civil War, you had Secret Invasion, Siege, all this stuff. And now Avengers versus X-Men. And a lot of writers will say, we've been building this story for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. If you go back and read Secret War and you read Avengers Disassembled, all this stuff was planned. You know, he put seeds for all of these big stories in those first two stories that have just kind of been weaving their way through. And it's taken, what? Disassembled was 2004, so 8 years for everything to pay off. But it hasn't been you've waited 8 years to get the end of the story. It's no. Here's this story. Okay, it ends, but there's still some threads that lead to the next story and some threads that lead to the next story and so on and so on and so on. And hopefully DC, as they do that, does it as well. Because one of the fun things about superhero books, as we talk about, is that soap opera of, well, what's going to happen next? Well, what's going to happen next? I'm the final episode of Mad Men's fifth season airs tonight. And it's that same feeling of, oh my God, I got to watch it the minute it's on because I want to know what happened next. There was so much that happened last episode that I got to see what happens next. And to me, that's what makes serialized fiction so much fun. So you didn't buy Before Watchmen at the source. You said it wasn't out yet. Did you buy it this week?
Well, I had planned not to buy it.
After all the discussion we had.
Yep. I just figured, you know, it was just one of those things. Didn't care, didn't want to. It was $3.99, wasn't going to watch it. But I was out and about, and I took my girls with me to the comic store this week, and Dana saw it and decided, oh, you picked these up for me. And I said, you realize Alan Moore doesn't really like this idea. Ah, but I just want to read it. And it struck me, that's who DC's aiming this at. People who read Watchmen and want more. Not Alan Moore. They want more of the characters. Even though, you know, in our minds, it's pretty much a closed deal. And it'd be interesting to see, you kind of alluded to it before we started, what people's reactions to it. Since I'm going to be getting them for Dana anyways, I am going to read them. And I forget what the first one is out.
Minutemen.
Yeah, I got a box of like 300 comics. I'm not going to dig through it just looking for it. I read it. It was okay. It was interesting. But then you told me something about where you think the story came from.
I read a review of someone who knows the Watchmen stuff really well. And they said that most of the stuff in Minutemen was from a source material book that was put out when Watchmen came out. When Watchmen came out, DC had this thing, the DC role-playing game. Because Dungeons & Dragons was big. And
I remember I had a copy of it for some reason.
Everybody was putting out a role-playing game. There was the Marvel role-playing game, which I played and was possibly the worst role-playing game set of rules ever written. It was very, very clearly written for people under 12. DC was put out by Mayfair Games,
yeah.
And it was a little more complicated. It was aimed more at college-age gamers, and they would put out source books, which were, here are the books for everything you need to know about the Teen Titans, everything you need to know about Batman, everything you need to know about the Justice League. And it broke down all the characters and their history into role-playing game stats. And one of them was a Watchmen source book. And they worked with Alan Moore at the time, and Alan Moore gave them all of his notes and everything for it. So they had the history of the Minutemen, the history of the world. I remember buying it at the time. I can't find it for the life of me, but I bet it's probably worth, you know, it's probably worth a fortune.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's in some box somewhere. But at the time, a lot of the stuff that was very background in Watchmen is talked about in this, such as with Dr. Manhattan, they were able to, you know, they didn't need gas and oil anymore. So that's why you see the fire hydrants have plugs. No, that's where you would plug in your floating car to give it to recharge the battery. Little things like that. From what I hear, the Minutemen book by Darwin Cook, he just took all the material on the Minutemen and put it in a couple of cases, word for word, into a comic book format. Now, he made some changes, one of which the reviewer said contradicted the information in the Watchmen. So, woo, there we go.
Yeah, there's only two on eBay right now, one for $30 and one for $75 that comes with the miniatures. Remember, this was all promotional material, if I recall the...
Nope, Moore did get money for the role-playing game stuff because he helped them with
it. Oh, that's good. You know, I was trying to explain to Dana the whole thing with Alan Moore, you know, why he got screwed out of what they did. You know, because I was telling her all these wonderful things. They said they were promotional materials. They didn't have to pay him a cut. I said that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah. That was kind of where it all started, but... I forget what it was, but it was basically someone said, if you're not going to buy before Watchmen, you're not supporting comics.
Yeah.
You know what? I support comics. I'll tell you one right now that I bought instead of Before Watchmen.
Hmm.
It's called Double Barrel Number One. It's from Top Shelf. It is a digital comic, and it was $1.99 for 120-some pages. It's completely done by Xander Cannon and Kevin Cannon, who are not related. Xander Cannon, Minneapolis guy, I believe. he's at our conventions a lot. And it's, let's see. Yep, it's through Top Shelf Comics. Digital exclusive, $1.99, all creator owned. So rather than buying before Watchmen, I bought that.
And I'll tell you how I support comics. The second store I went to, brand new store, Comic Book College of Knowledge. They moved from their itty bitty store they shared with Nostalgia Zone right next door. And they got everything all spread out. It's like a brand new store. And
you can find stuff.
Yeah. Everything's laid out really nice. It's kind of like the way I used to carry comics at Hot Comics. You know, everything's flat. They can put older issues behind it. So you're not constantly drilling around the, here's brand new issue. Now the old issue's now back issue for a quarter more or whatever. But our good buddy, Terrence Creep, a.k.a. Spider Baby, was there signing copies of Champions number 55, where he is on the cover wrestling the sensational G-Girl, America's newest costume heroine. And he was there, and I picked up a copy, had him autograph it. And it's a pretty good story for a wrestling store. I mean, we've talked about wrestling stories in the past before. This one's actually was pretty good. And for those of you who know Spider Baby or Terrence Creep, you know that, I don't know, should I throw up a spoiler warning on this one? Throw it up again, Corey.
Sure, another spoiler warning, everybody.
All right, you know. G-Girl has a set of secret weapons. And despite the fact that she said she did read up about his opponents, when she revealed them, Spider-Baby was like, unimpressed. He's,
uh-oh.
Seriously? That's your secret weapon? She basically showed him her tatas. And if you don't understand why that would not affect, I mean, most mortal men, it would bother, but not Spider Baby. And if you don't know why, I suggest you do one of three things. You either run down to Comic College and get yourself a copy of Champions 55, because the Champions, the whole series from Heroic Publishing is not available through Diamond's Previews. So you either do that, go to their website and buy it, or go to Terrence's website and buy it, or email him or whatever. So,
or you can listen to the interview we did with them a while back, and it'll spill the secret why Go Girl doesn't affect him.
Yeah, gives you a chance to do that. As you can see, I didn't listen to it, so you caught me.
Oh,
I know. But it was fun.
Why do I bother?
It was fun to see Terrence. I kind of felt for him because, it was just a gorgeous day out. There were not a lot of people coming to the comic store, and he was sitting in front, kind of bored. And it was interesting because the way the skylight was, it just shone the sun right down on him. So he was bathed in a rather warm glow in the front of the store. But I don't know how many copies he sold, but like I said, I went down and bought one, said hi. That was kind of fun.
And like I said, that could lead us into
between the two stores, Source, Comic College. It's almost like shopping brand new stores.
That could lead us into Tales from the Shop.
Ooh, cool.
Tales from the Shop does not currently have a sponsor.
Uh-oh.
Would you like to sponsor Tales from the Shop? If so, email me at corey.strode@gmail.com. Subject line, advertising.
Or you could probably just go to our page, the official Comic Crazy Comics and Stuff podcast page on Facebook and send him something that way.
That would work too.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we'd like it if people would go and friend us or like us or whatever you do on Facebook.
Now, actually, I don't know what you got planned, but I actually have a Tales from the Shop.
Ah, good. Because I had an idea, but
this is part of
you own the shop, so you're in charge.
This is part of just what I'm doing. I've got most of my business records from the shop. The IRS says I only got to hang on to them for 7 years, but I grabbed the box. They've been in the way. And I just brought it in and I started shredding it. And most of the stuff I can just shred. I mean, it's business records. It's got, personal identifying information on it from my employees. If you've ever had a credit card sale through me, I have your credit card number. You'll be happy to know from 1995 to 1996, I did shred those records.
Oh, good.
And it was kind of fun going through it because, I mean, I was thinking of people I haven't seen in ages. You know, I just have their card and their name. I did save a lot of the actual invoices. And I wish I almost had saved all of them because I know most of them I've been shredding. It's kind of interesting just to look at some of the things that I ordered. And things that I got, like, remember She, Way of the Warrior, number 10?
Yes.
At the time when I bought this in 96, we ordered 60 copies of it.
Oh, wow.
That was a lot. Lady Death, 15. We got the mug, the glass mugs, which I'm sure probably have a collector's item. Leave It to Chance 2 was out. Legion of Superheroes, all these 15 copies a piece. Things like Mythos, The Final Tour, 11. And let's see, here's Flash, 120, 30 copies. Teen Titans, number 3. Remember, this is 1996, 30 copies. Superman, Man of Steel, upwards of 70. Stormwatch, 41, number 20. Wizard, I ordered 25 of version A, 25 of version S. Of number 64. And they probably overshipped me somewhere too.
Yeah.
And it was just interesting to see. Supergirl number 1, I ordered 3rd printings. I ordered 2nd, number 2, 3, and 4. So that must have just come out. It's just fun to look at these old records and see what I ordered. But I did run across something that totally had escaped my imagination.
Uh-oh.
If you recall, Subway did a special deal. If you bought a kid's meal, you had got a coupon on it. And the coupon said this was good for a free Marvel comic. To receive your free Marvel comic, complete the information below, name, address, blah, blah, blah. Bring it into a participating comic book store and redeem it for a free issue of a Marvel comic title from a pre-selected inventory. This was one of Marvel's attempt to try to get people into comic book shops, because again, this was 1996. Where were we doing? I think we were starting our long slide down. Pogs had played out. Magic was starting up. Magic was still going. Pokemon was starting. Toys were starting to enter the golden age where anybody and everybody would get an action figure. Actually, I think that age is actually finished pretty much now for toys. Yeah. But comics were on the downslide from the peak of 1993 when Superman returned, Image debuted, went downhill.
He's gonna puke.
Of all the paperwork I went through, I only have one of these coupons left.
And you didn't send it in.
Well, I don't remember what I was supposed to do with these coupons. I think what the deal was, if I recall, Marvel sent me comics, you know, and I don't recall what they were. They probably just grabbed some inventory, and if I said I was willing to be part of this, I seem to recall they just sent me a bunch of comic books, and those were the pre-selected inventory. So naturally, when the kid would come in, I'd put the comic up, and I'd say, okay, go ahead and pick whatever you want. And I don't recall hardly any of these coupons coming in. I may be 4. I think of how many kids' meal Subway probably served in that summer, because the expiration date on his baby was October 31st, 96. It wasn't like they didn't try. I mean, you read it, it says, see your yellow pages under comic books for a store near you. Call to find out if it's a participating store. If there's no comic book near you, you can obtain it by filling out and mailing it to blah, blah, blah. But I just, it was an interesting effort. We were probably all excited about it, but it didn't do anything. And as far as I know, it probably never brought repeat customers into my store again. Gregory Johnson, if you're out there listening, let's see, you were 6 at the time you came into my store. So if you're listening, drop us a line. It'd be fun to see if it did indeed keep you reading comics or if it just was a flash in the pan that Marvel tried. My guess would be...
Well, if we hear from him and he says, yeah, it's just a flash in the pan, then I'm worried.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then we'd have to ask him why you're listening to a comic book podcast anyways.
See?
But I'm kind of curious as to 96. Was there a superhero movie out in 96?
I don't think so.
Batman's
on 97.
There's a spider symbol on the actual coupon. I don't have the bag. I'd be curious to see, because obviously Subway had some type of tie-in with superheroes. Maybe they were just giving away stuff. You know, some.
Well, there was a Spider-Man cartoon because
that might have been the tie-in, because then you would go into Subway, get the meal and whatever cool little Spider-Man toy that came with it. And then if you were smart enough to take the coupon off, you could come to my shop and redeem it. And I don't know. I don't think we had a Subway around.
No, because I remember there was a girl I dated in 99. She hung out at gaming stores and wrote a column for the gaming store she hung out at. And one of the columns she wrote was a funny one about how there's always a Subway right next to a comic shop.
Oh, you know what? You're right. There was a Subway down there between us and Angelo's Pizza.
Yeah, it was by Angelo's.
Yeah, it was a little one. They've since moved across the street into a bigger area, but.
Because Subway's become so huge.
Yep.
The bread's bigger.
Jared. Now, if Jared had been seen reading a comic book, we might have had something. Oh.
Actually, the Tales from the Shop I was going to ask about, signings. How did they come about? We know the one about how you came back from a vacation and there was a signing that you didn't know about.
Yeah, that was Scott Liddell.
Who's still working. In comics, believe it or not.
I don't believe it.
Well, you buy his books.
I do.
Yeah, he's writing for the new DC.
Ah.
Pretty much anybody who was working at Marvel from like 93 to 96 seems to be working at DC now.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I forget what. Tom DeFalco sent out a tweet, said, I was just in a meeting with Bobby Chase, Howard Mackey, and Bob Harris. If I didn't know better, it was Marvel 1995. Well, I'm reading the books, and it looks like Marvel 1995, too.
Yeah. As I said, it's one at a time. Those DZ books just, they're not holding my attention. But when I read them in three-month increments, you know, and then you start catching some of the different, there's, you know, stuff going on in the background. It's kind of, it might hold my attention. We'll see how long it lasts.
Now, my question is, how did most of the local guys, how did those signings get set up? Because Terrence had a signing at the college. Let's say one of the local guys was going to do a signing. Did he call you? Did you call him? Did the comic company call you? Did the distributor? How'd it work?
Well, we've only had, I can only recall 4 signings. We talked about the Fantastic Four guy, Alan Hyde White, coming in. We talked about Scott. The only other two I had is when Power Shazam 1 came out. Was it 1 or was it later on? I can't remember. It was in the old shop, the smaller shop. We had Pete Krause come in. Pete Krause doing the art for that. And I want to say it wasn't necessarily number 1 that came out. I know I posted pictures on my Facebook and linked it to our crazy comic Facebook. Let me take a quick sidebar here and find those pictures. The reason why I'm curious because I remember there was a couple things that was interesting. I think one of them was Pete was kind of interesting because if you knew him, he would draw you into a comic book. This was kind of a local thing where people did this all the time. There was a DC comic based on a TSR game. I can't remember the Gameron?
Gameroders.
Yes, and on the cover of one of them are all the local artists in the Twin Cities area, and they're on the cover. And he did a couple that were kind of fun. I remember one of the guys, Brian Wilson, the old Beach Boy bum, one of the guys works at the MCBA. He did the, it's like you turn the page and he had Brian in maybe a three quarters of the page as a bartender, just looking straight out at you rather, dubiously. And if you knew Brian, there was no mistaking it was Brian. It was very funny. And Brian, that was when comics went on a Friday, and he came in that day, and he was signing copies of them because we were having him, dude, this is him, look at him. And he would sign copies, and people who didn't get the joke got the joke and signed it. So that was kind of fun. Good old Polaroid pictures. It's too fuzzy. I can't tell. There's my Monster Society of Evil hardcover, which I believe you bought.
Yes.
And I want to borrow sometime because now that they're never going to come out with it.
Oh, yeah, I'll let you borrow it.
That would be fun. Yeah, I remember I only read like half of it. And then I'll
put a GPS tracker in it, though, in the way you talk about it. What, huh?
$300 on eBay, baby.
Really?
I got a picture here the day that Pete Krause came to play in his Power Shazam. Must have been fairly early in the run. So he came and he did a signing. And that was just a case where, I've known Pete for a long time. They started their books a long time ago with a self-published thing that, Alan Payne and Paul Ewer tried to do, Entropy Tales. And he was one of the artists on there. And I had the artist on the radio show I was doing at college at the time. So this would place this about between 83 and 87. Probably 85 to 87, because that's when I actually got control of a morning show, and then I could pretty much do whatever, mainly because the program manager never got up that early to listen to us.
You do anything you wanted, so you had butt bongos and dial-a-date?
No, we did give away my co-worker's virginity, and I did have two guys.
And how did that go?
From
Did someone ask for it back?
Entropy Tale. I don't know. He still might have hung on to it. We never really got to the dream day part. Anyways, that's how I met Pete. And, I just followed his career. And when he got to Power of Shazam, I think we talked about it at one of the cons. He said he'd be willing to do a signing. And we just set up a date, coordinated things. The other signing I had was Colleen Doran. And I forget how I got her, but she was coming to the MCBA con. And I believe she was going to maybe different stores. And so we had her come in. And what I did with her was we had an interesting discussion. She was a delightful guest. And I actually have quite a few pictures with her as well as Pete up. And I remember talking with her beforehand. And she was like, how do you want to deal with this? And I said, well, what I'd like to do is you give away as many copies of your book as you possibly can. Because I want people to just get a chance to try it. And then whatever you give away, I will cover you whatever you need, half, 50, 60%, whatever. I'll make sure you get covered for it because I want you to promote yourself. And of course, she went to the con after that. And it was, I think that was probably one of the better ones because back then it was everything showed up on Friday. So everybody showed up on Friday to get their comic books. Nowadays, things show up on Wednesday. Like I said, I met the one guy, Anthony area at the source. I think I visited on a Thursday, and there's nobody there on a Thursday. You know, it's spread out now because people come in on Friday, people come in on Wednesday. And even with when I had, I think we had Scott on a Saturday, that actually was pretty good because, you know, he had the X-Men heat behind him. Colleen worked out pretty good, and Pete did because that was on a Friday.
Well, Colleen, I remember by about four or five in the afternoon, it was dead.
Yeah.
And we put on The Simpsons, and it was just us regulars, and Butch, and you, and I, and Colleen.
And Mike.
Were watching The Simpsons, and that was the first Wiggum Fest, where we spent the rest of the night quoting Chief Wiggum in our best Chief Wiggum voice.
That spider's going to fly, see?
So long, Superman.
Your secret's safe with me. Oh, man.
Yep, that's when Butch started doing the Barney voice. Oh, my God, it must have been a ghost car.
Oh, man, that's funny stuff.
And we are directly under the sun right
now. Keep these engine block eggs down. We'll be sitting pretty. Yeah. Those are really the only four signings. I came to the conclusion that my store wasn't necessarily signing friendly. Because most of my customers, they would come in, they'd pick up their stuff, they would leave. If there was a signing, they might be sort of kind of interested, but they wouldn't go out of their way for it. And it became very apparent on Wednesdays. Because when I remember I would talk to a few other people about a signing, and I would say, well, the best day to do it is Wednesday, because that's when the most people come in. Well, most creators are busy. They were prone to want to do it Friday or Saturday because that's their time off. And I don't think we ever really pursued that. I mean, if we'd have done it as a regular, and at the time, of course, I really didn't know a lot of the local artists. I mean, it always shocked me when I'd come to a Comic-Con and find out just all these creators were local. You know, Dan Juergens, Gleason. I did talk with Dan a few times about doing a signing, but we never got anything going before I ended up selling the shop. And those, I think, were the only four we actually did. You know, Colleen, I don't remember how I got in touch with her. Pete, I stayed in touch with. The Fantastic Four thing, they contacted the other Hot Comics, Comic Archives, and myself. And we already talked about how Scott did it. I think if I were to do another bigger comic store, I would want to do more signings or have more parties at it. Because I know watching The Source, especially on Free Comic Book Day or when they have their sale event, they always have a few guys in the back, even if they're just publishing their own ware. And it's kind of fun to run into these guys and talk to them and give them a try. You know, because I always supported the local creators. I always supported the indie scene. Just never really did a lot with signings. You know, in the 90s too, the other thing, we had a lot of comic stores. So, you know, between all the Shinders, you know, even as my store sat, two stores sprung up, one south, one north. They didn't last long, maybe disappear again. But every time a new store would come, you'd lose a few customers. Very rarely would they come back. And so this fracturing of the market, you know, people would just disappear. I mean, I ran across one guy just at a gas station, which was kind of funny. You know, I was filling up and I said, hi, we're catching up. And I asked him and I said, you know, I know you came down to this guy's comic store because he was, you know, literally blocks from your house. Are you still collecting? You know, because I know he closed up and he just kind of, he gets that look like I asked him for a free anal probe or something. And he said, no, I just, you know, I said, no, I understand, you know, girls, comics, whatever. It's hard to do. I said, well, if you ever get going again, you know, come on by. I said, or worse, if you want to just dump your collection, bring it in. So, but then you stop and, you know, you see stores like my new favorite store, Midtown Comics in Manhattan. And they just, for the fun of it, decided to have Garth Ennison, you know, just sign a few copies of Shadow, you know. That's crazy. I mean, you know, granted they're in the middle of New York, but to have that type of stroke where you can actually get, or like, was it Jeff Johns and Jim Lee sign hardcovers of the Justice League hardcover? You know, I mean, you almost got to have a dedicated staff that's almost like a producer at a radio show just to do that, you know, to work on signings. You know, I know when I talked with Nick, when they were talking about expanding the source, or even just at their old shop, which was 3,000 plus square feet, you know, he talked about doing it more. But, you know, the store as big as mine, as big as the source, and Nick has a partner to help him and a lot of employees. You know, you got other things to keep going. You know, you can't look forward and see, hey, you know, such and such is coming out. Maybe I can get him to come visit. You know, even then I see there were a lot of comic creators that would write books and have books out, and they would go on tour, but they'd never visit comic shops, you know, because they wanted to go to Barnes & Noble or Borders or Walden Books or wherever the hell was around then, you know? So, yeah, we never were a signing shop, but we had fun with the few we did. And like I said, if I were to do it again, I would probably want to keep going, do a few more. I think people are more hungry now too.
Well,
you know, back then during the rock ages, you know, it was tough to want to get somebody in, you know, because they made a lot of money, you know. You never get the Image Boys in. But nowadays you just, you know, I mean, you probably won't get Todd or Jim in, but you know, you might be able to get one of the other guys in if you could convince them to come visit.
Well, that brings us to a place where we do have a sponsor.
Dun, dun, dun.
Freaking and Geeking is brought to you by BartCop.com. BartCop is a friend of mine. He's been doing a liberal website for, since 96. And before that, he did a newsletter that he would email out called, let's just say it said bad things about Rush Limbaugh. And here's his ad.
Hi, my name's Bart, and I got a little radio show over at BartCop.com that we call it the Tequila Treehouse. And on the radio show, we talk about a lot of things. You know, we talk about sports, and we talk about sex, and we talk about TV, and we talk about movies. But really, we're not talking about those things. We're usually talking about the politics of the sports and the sex and the TV and the movies and that. So if you go to BartCop.com, you might get to hear a sample. Actually, the radio show is for the subscribers, but now and then we open it up to the general masses, or we play some snippets on there trying to tease you into subscribing. But that's over at BartCop.com, the Tequila Treehouse. Try it. You might like it.
So, Freaking and Geeking. Joe, what are you geeking on? What do you love? What's great? What did you read in your big old box of comics that you loved?
Oh, okay, let me go dig out my big old box of comics. Oh, Gilligan, you did it again. All right. Let me remove my Free Comic Book Day stuff, which I haven't gotten to yet. I'm just going to rattle off some stuff because I read Peanuts 3 and 4. I love the Peanuts. I love the comic book. It's been a lot of fun. I've also loved IWD's Popeye. Oh, sorry about that. I kind of knocked over the mic. I don't know. Have you read the Popeye things? Are you a Popeye into Popeye?
No, I have not. I have not read them.
It's actually really good because they did it in the style that Popeye you'd be familiar with in the Popeye comic strips. And it's a really densely packed story in order to, just to cover everything they're doing. I mentioned before I read The Avengers Assembled. Is that supposed to be taking place in the normal Marvel universe?
Yes, it is.
Okay, because I wonder if they're just going to make it like a non-continuity book free because, you know, I got to the end of issue 3 and I've enjoyed it. And then of course the big thing on the thing is Thanos is there. Well, the last time we saw Thanos, he was locked up in the Death Universe. So unless they're going to suddenly break down and explain to us how he got free or explain to us, you know, why he's, you can't tell if he's got the Infinity Gauntlet or not. You know, I'm just going to enjoy the stories for what they are. I did pick up number 1 of Star Trek Next Generation Doctor Who crossover, Assimilation Squared. You know, and I'm a sucker for crossovers, and I like Star Trek, I like Doctor Who.
I read that. And to me, while I was very excited about the story, it pointed out what I don't like about modern comics.
You got to introduce everybody.
The first issue was all set up.
Yeah. And what is this, a six-issue series?
Yeah, it's a six-issue series. But this was like, I'm reading a lot of crime novels. One of the things I like about a crime novel, and I like about a detective novel or a noir novel, is they go by Raymond Chandler's rule, which is you get rid of every word that doesn't drive the story forward. Usually, I'm reading one of the Parker novels, Man with the Getaway Face. Action starts the first sentence. In too many comics now, the first issue of a story, the arc that's going to be, you know, four or five, six, it's all set up. No, you start with action. I don't want to spend $4. If I'm picking up a book that's called Star Trek Meets Doctor Who, I think I already know the characters in Star Trek and I already know who Doctor Who is. You don't need to spend 22 pages setting up and telling me what the Federation is, what the Enterprise is, who the Doctor is, why he does what, how his powers work. No, start. If you need to fill us in the story. But it was very frustrating because I wanted to pick it up and see story, and it was, oh, this is all set up.
Yeah.
So go, do you go on?
Well, there's other things that I'm waiting on that I haven't read yet. I picked up The Essential Black Panther, which I haven't read yet. I picked up Empowered, the latest volume. Do you read Empowered?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Number 7 just came out.
Oh, okay.
And of course, Empowered is basically a rather shapely blonde who's got a costume that gives her super strength, but unfortunately the thing's about as durable as tissue paper. So as she continues to fight, she loses her power and most often ends up getting tied up. Now, a couple issues ago, Empowered comes out in a graphic novel format for $16.99. It's usually shrink wrap because, again, it's got a parental advisory on it. Now, a couple issues ago, Empowered's been kind of a lighter romp. You know, it's funny. It's densely read. There's good artwork. A lot of boobs. The TNA crowd will like it. But if something happened, and I don't remember it was 5 or 6. Again, throw up a spoiler warning because I feel like spoiling things today.
No, oh, it's just all warnings.
All spoiler, but. Something happened where there's this villain, his name's Phosphorus Pete, and basically, all Phosphorus Pete wants to do is have sex with anything he can defeat. And the main protagonist's Empowered, her boyfriend used to work with this character. And problem is if you left him, Pete more than likely is going to hunt you down to kill him. So there's always been this background that, oh, Pete's going to show up and do something. Well, for some reason, As you can guess, nobody really takes Empowered seriously. So the A-list heroes kind of get a group of B-list heroes together to go off and deal with this particular problem because, you know, I'd have to reread why. I think they're just humoring her. Well, these heroes basically get rather gruesomely killed off by Pete, including a few that are literally, you know, screwed to death. Now, if you remember anything about phosphorus, it burns at what? 1,000, 2,000 degrees.
Yes.
It's hot. Real hot.
Very damn hot.
Killer hot.
Africa hot.
That's the reason why we dumped it on people.
Vegas hot. Wars. Damn hot.
And it was kind of like this real light series suddenly took a real heavy turn. And then, of course, in the next issue where you're waiting to see, okay, what's the fallout for it? Well, they just blame Empowered that they set her up. They set him up. And I'm like, it was just weird because they're putting her on trial for this. And they're kind of like, wait a minute, this is a person who gets tied up the minute you sneeze at her. Yet she, you know, it's real intriguing because you're wondering, okay, they've put something very deadly in the play, but it's not wherever Pete's hanging out or whatever it is, it doesn't necessarily show up in the very next issue, you know? So it's just one of those where I'm constantly looking forward to trying it out. While it's not likely I expect anybody just to drop $16.99, there have been a number of one-shots to come out, and you might be able to find them in your back issue bins, and this is published through Dark Horse. So if you just want to pick up one of the comic book versions just to see if it's your cup of tea, or just look at the cover. You can probably tell by looking at the artwork whether it's something you're going to get into or not.
Yep, it's very much it's kind of a parody of superhero stuff, a parody of how women are treated in superhero comics while still, you know, having all the TNA, drawn in a manga style, because Adam Warren is very much a Warren style, very much a manga style. He wrote Gen 13 the last time I thought Gen 13 was any good. He did the Dirty Pair, the adaptation of the Japanese series Dirty Pair, back at Dark Horse. I really, really enjoy Adam Warren's stuff, but he has a sense of humor that it sort of dances that line that if you don't take it right, you could see it as being sexist, because he's making fun of sexism while also playing with titillation and playing with that. What I'm geeking on, and when I first read the issue, Joe probably knows that I was giddy as a schoolgirl. Batman Incorporated, number one. Grant Morrison, back on Batman. You don't have to know any of this New 52 crap. He picks right up where he left off. He's continuing his excellent, excellent, excellent Batman run. And on page 12, the greatest new character in the DC universe has been introduced. When Robin says, as of now, I'm a vegetarian, and this is Bat-Cow. And that's all I'm going to tell you.
Yep.
Bat-Cow, the greatest character in DC.
Go get it. You'll have the first appearance of Bat-Cow. It's going to be a $1 million comic any day now.
The other mainstream book that I read that I really enjoyed was the Batman Annual number one, with the story of Mr. Freeze. And I'm not going to spoil anything about it other than it's the origin of Mr. Freeze in the new DC 52. It's just, Batman's been very lucky in that they've picked out some really good writers. Scott Snyder's one of them. But the Batman Annual is the best non-Morrison Batman story I've read in a few years. And it's a done in one. You can just pick it up and read it. I'm also really enjoying Spider-Man Ends of the Earth. They had a cliffhanger that actually fooled me, which is pretty hard to do. I've been reading comics since I was 12, and I'm almost perfect sure now. But they had a cliffhanger that really fooled me, because I got to the end of the issue and I went, no, they couldn't have. They shouldn't have. And I was all ready to write this big rant. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to wait an issue. I'm going to wait an issue and see. And they pulled the rug right out from under me, and I was, oh, you got me. And I like it when I get surprised. As for freaking, first thing I'm freaking about, the new Godzilla series. That's right. There's a new number one on Godzilla. When there a new number one on Godzilla about a year ago?
Yep. That was just a new series.
Nope, it was the regular series, because it was the one where if you bought over a certain number of copies, your store got its own cover. Well, obviously, that just collapsed. And, they started with the new series. Has a beautiful Art Adams cover. Story, however, I just didn't care for, because it wasn't about Godzilla. It was about this it was a character that I didn't care for. The story just didn't work. It wasn't a Godzilla story. And I got to be honest, I like the American Godzilla better than I like this comic.
I never really followed the new Godzilla comic, just because every time I open it up, it's just drawn poorly. And I don't like that. You know, to me, if I can't recognize it as Godzilla, it's just not. And maybe it's because I blame Art Adams. I'm used to his specials, but it's like, if you're not going to get a decent artist to do it, don't bother, you know?
The other thing I'm freaking about, I mentioned it on my Facebook. We're going to talk about it more next episode because we're already an hour and 15 minutes into this one. If you look at the new DC 52.
Do I have to? I mean, yeah, yeah.
Look at their sales?
Never. That's what I got you for.
They're pretty much back where they were a year ago. They're back right where they were before they did all the new number ones.
Tie into the rant I talked about. It's hard to sustain habitual readers.
Well, and it's, I said before it happened, this is going to be like, what was it, 1 year later, where DC jumped ahead a year. And everybody was, oh, this is great, it's exciting, and it sold, and then the second print sold, and the third print sold, and the fourth print sold. But by the time he got to the seventh, eighth, ninth issue, all those new readers were gone. Same thing with the new DC 52. You know, you look at what the first issue sold, and you look at what they sell now. Where did all the readers go? Did they vanish? Did they disappear? Did they come in by the first issue, put it in a box, and forget about it? And once again, I was talking with somebody who works in comics retail at the con. And, well, it was Jay, who used to own Twin City Comics. He sold it, and we'll talk a little about that next time, because what he's doing with himself I find very interesting. I think it's very cool how he's reinventing himself after owning a comic shop. And it is something where after you own a comic shop, it's like, okay, now what do I do with myself? Especially when, how long did he own Twin City Comics?
He had it back when I had the store. I mean, I think he got into it. I don't remember when we did that Triangle of Terror. Because it was me, Comic College, and Zone.
Comic Archive.
Archive. And Too Many Comics.
Yeah.
And Twin City Comics. And Archives went under, I sold, and he stuck it out.
Yeah.
Because there was a comic store up in St. Cloud, I know they bought in with him. So they there was actually a partnership going on there. But yeah, they just out and sold. I'll have to go visit and see if it's changed. And they got a nice shop too, because they're right across the street from an independently owned theater. And I don't know if Jay necessarily wanted to go that route, but I kept telling, you know, I said, you got these guys right across the street, you know, you run some ads, or, you know, if they decide to run Avengers, or they decide to run Spider-Man or whatever, see if you can't do any type of display, you know, change your window. Maybe call them in, see, hey, can you get, you know, do something like, how much would it be to get all three Spider-Man in, just do a Spider-Man day or something?
Yeah.
And you could see when I was talking to Jay about it, he just kind of, you get that, you've seen it, you know, you're talking to somebody about what you think's a great idea and they get a vacant look on their face. You could tell, whatever it was, that was not what he wanted to do. Yeah. I'm not saying it's good, not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it is what it is, you know? It's just something I would have pursued had I had a comics or a theater right across the street from me.
But we talked about the DC 52 and how, oh, yeah, it was huge. And then, you know, it just fell off. And I've been online talking with other people. And it never fails to just, I feel like I'm beating my head against a wall. Well, they advertised the new DC 52. Yeah, they advertised the first issues. They dropped some ads, and they sold really well. Did they advertise for the next month or the month after? the month after, the month after. Well, no, you advertise and then people come in and they love it so much that they keep coming back every week. And all I have to say is, well, good. I'm glad advertising works that way. That's why McDonald's never runs any ads anywhere. Everybody knows McDonald's. So why do they need to advertise? They advertise once and they're done. Or Coke. Coke advertises once and it's done. Well, people know about Coke. I mean, come on, it's in the grocery store. People will just go to the grocery store whenever they need soda, right? You don't need to advertise.
Never.
Or, you know, a movie comes out. You just advertise once. You advertise the day before it comes out. You don't advertise it anymore. You don't need to run any ads, especially when the DVD comes out. Everybody knows when DVDs come out, right? The comic companies and comic shops, they all, well, we advertised. You bought one set of ads. And your sales went up while the ads were on. Then when the ads went away, your sales go back down. And Joe, you have the perfect example in your shop.
Mm-hmm.
When you advertised on the X-Men, sales were good. Even when sales were dropping everywhere else, through the collapse of 93 and 94, you weren't hit that hard by it, were you?
Not as much as I was told I was supposed to be. You know, it was like, oh, you survived that. We really, 93 and 94, we didn't have any real problems.
But then when the ads on the X-Men stopped, sales slumped.
Yeah, it's just one of those things you got to continue. And the problem was, at the time, the ads kept going up, and then Marvel stopped their co-op, and DC got really archaic with their co-op. You know, it's funny because I remember being at one of these conferences and we kept telling them, you know, why don't you and Marvel and Dark Horse, who was vying for number three at the time, and Image, why don't you get together and make like ads for comics? And the guy, okay, well, you know, quite frankly, you can't tell us what we're going to do with our advertising money. And then he turned around not a half hour later. He was telling us, you should get together with stores in your area and put ads together. And I was like, I didn't do it. And I wish I had stood up and said, now you're telling me what I'm supposed to do with my advertising money. You got the money. Marvel's got the money. I don't know what Image was doing. And you're telling me, who has no money, I'm supposed to do it. It was just crazy.
So we're going to dig into sales figures next week.
Meaning Corey's going to dig into sales figures. I'm going to prepare smart-ass comments.
Why? I will say this, though. Overall comics, up 40% from last May.
I would all the Spider Baby. He was out selling his comics last night at the wrestling match he was at. So it's obviously some good old-fashioned hustling. It's paying off.
And, you know, for all the talk about media, once again, Walking Dead, trade paperbacks, filling up the top 10. The comic, still going up. The book's issue 98, and it sells more each issue. Each issue sells more. They've got a big event for issue 100 that is also going to be their hype for the fall series at San Diego. But you got to advertise, people. It drives me crazy.
And I have a shocking announcement to share with everybody.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to wait till next podcast.
Oh, you can't do that.
Sure I can. Why not? I got to wait 30 days to find out the end of the Spider-Man storyline. You guys can wait 7 before the next podcast.
Can you tell us what it's about?
Nope.
Can you tell us if it's earth shaking?
Well, I tell you this. I can't tell you because I got to get on top of my Marvel Avengers Alliance game.
Oh, okay.
Because I haven't played it.
Am I going to have to look for a new co-host?
I got like 200 plus people. And to
because the guy who did our episode 52, he's available, you know.
Really? I thought he'd be busy playing with his sea monkeys.
So, Joe, what are you freaking about?
I am freaking out that a turtle divorce it's made after 115 years together.
Well, you know what? Just remember what Chris Rock said. No matter how gorgeous a woman is, no matter how beautiful she is, no matter how much you think, how attractive she is, somewhere somebody is tired of putting up with her shit. And after 115 years, this turtle finally said, you know what? I've just had it with how she eats the carrots without chewing them.
You know, and the thing is most of them can't eat carrots because they just kind of go right through them. Oh, look, a video of a turtle chasing a cat. Woohoo! What fun.
I got to see a turtle eat carrot sticks yesterday. I was involved in a Kickstarter video.
Uh-oh.
My friend Tommy, who has made the movie Bob Came from Outer Space and was Uncle Ghouli on Horror Incorporated, made a video for his a Kickstarter project called Squatched. It's a movie about Sasquatch. And I was just there to carry stuff and lift stuff and move things. And next thing I know, I'm involved in the video. I play a drunken hobo.
Oh, not much of a stretch.
No.
So
when that video's up, I'll be telling people about it.
Cool.
If it's any good. If it sucks, I'll just
then I'll be telling people
pretend it never happened.
Yeah, I'll tell people about it if it sucks.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you've wasted an hour and a half of your life listening to us blather on about funny books. Well, I'm sitting here sweating. Topics. Damn hot, Joe.
Yeah, I'm sitting in air conditioning, so I feel good.
It's like Arizona hot.
No, it's a dry heat. We're a little more
Vegas hot. L.A. hot. Nasty. So I'm going to go jump in a cold shower.
I'm going to fill up the kiddie pool and sit in it.
You know, at least wear pants this time, okay?
No promises.
Well, while Joe does that, just a reminder, please, for the love of God, don't go to his neighborhood. And remember that the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most.